Hey, Merry Christmas, family. It's good to be with you. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 20, speaking about the birth of Christ. We're continuing our Christmas series this morning, and we'll be looking at the events surrounding the birth of Christ. The first week, we looked at a message titled Yearning for the Light, and we saw how Christ breaks through to our dark world, and he deals with the darkness that is within our hearts, that he is the light of the world, that he brings life and light to everyone who would believe in him. And then last week, we saw a message entitled God with Us. And we saw that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he dwells with us. And we looked at Mary and Joseph and some of the things that they had to navigate as the birth of Christ was on the horizon. This morning, I want us to look at the events surrounding the birth of Christ and what happens after that. Shortly after that, there's something that happens and the good news goes out, and we're going to see what that is and what that looks like this morning. We're going to look at three things this morning: the announcement of his birth, the purpose of his birth, and the various ways people respond to his birth. Let's read Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 20. Let's just pick it up in verse 4. Get a little context here. It says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." And now we'll look at our text this morning, verses 8 through 20. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you that we can come with open hearts. We can be reminded of your birth, your love for us, God, the fact that you came into our broken world while we were far from you, God. You loved us and you rescued us, God. And so we ask that you would bless this time in your word, that the birth of Christ, God, wouldn't be something that we just get used to. It's not just like a yearly thing we think about, but it would be something that deeply affects our lives in the day to day. And so have your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And so Jesus Christ is born, right? We see that in verse 6. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth. Okay, so this is a big moment. Think about Mary and Joseph. They're very young, maybe 12, 13 years old. She's going to give birth to the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord God Almighty, who created everything. The Son of God chooses, willingly goes into our broken world on a rescue mission. He says, I'm going to come in the form of a little helpless baby. Think about the humility of Christ, of God, that he's like, you know what? I'm not coming as a prince on a throne. I'm coming as a little helpless baby. It says in verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The humility of Christ, the fact that he would come not only to our broken world, but that he would come into our world. There was not a place for him to be born. There was no place for them in the inn. Most people think, many scholars think that he was born in a cave. Right? We think of, like, we have different ideas of what that might look like, but there's animals there. It's dirty. Think about this. Mary's giving birth. There's blood. It smells probably like he's placed in a feeding trough. Think about the humility that the Son of God would come into our world in this manner. I want to look at a kind of deeper into the birth of Christ and really the announcement of his birth. That's what we're going to be kind of looking at today. The announcement of his birth we see in verses 8 through 9. Notice what it says. It says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel is going to speak to these shepherds. But before we get into the message that the angel brought, I want us to look at how amazing this is, that this announcement would come to lowly shepherds. Right? Our attention quickly goes from the birth scene, from Jesus being born, to the effect and what's happening in that announcement being proclaimed to a certain group of people. We don't just keep seeing Mary and Joseph and all the ins and outs and what happened with Jesus, but really, very quickly, we see this focus change, and it's now, okay, the announcement of his birth. And notice to whom the announcement goes to. It goes to shepherds. They're out in the field. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, when we hear this story, we think, okay, that's a cute story. That's very touching. We see the, you know, kids during the play, and we're like, okay, they got their little shepherds and they got their little sheep and they're so cute. But this is kind of interesting because think about this. If you are the Messiah God, you're Christ the Lord coming on the scene, who are the people that you want to announce your birth to? You would think it might be the priests or the pastors, the holy people, people who are in charge of the synagogue, working in the temple, the religious elite maybe. But that's not who the announcement comes to. It comes to lowly shepherds who are out in the field. They're simply watching their flock by night. I love how the gospel and the good news is for every single person, right? It's for the people who you've written off in your mind, the people who you see during the week. Maybe they're less fortunate than you in the material sense. Maybe you're like, man, I wonder what they did to deserve that. They seem like they're having a rough time. I wonder what decisions they made to get them in that place. We oftentimes judge people. We kind of write them off. But I love that God does not do that. God brings his gospel to the most unsuspecting, unlikely people. A group of shepherds. Society wasn't recognizing them. They're out there in the field. They don't have a normal job, really. As people are sleeping to work the next day, they're working when others are sleeping. they're out there in the boonies, and it's like, and God shows up, and this angel comes, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I love how God brings his gospel. I love how God announces that he's coming on the scene. There's a savior that's going to be born, that he's born today in Bethlehem. This news is for the humble. It's for those who recognize their need for the savior. I guess the question for us is, have we seen our need for the savior? Have we responded to the birth of Christ? And we'll talk more about that as we get into this text. The Lord shows up, right? This angel shows up and brings them this news. And I want us to look at the news that the angel brought these men. The announcement of his birth, but also in verse 10 through 12, the purpose of his birth. The angel's going to declare to them, this is the good news. This is the purpose of this birth that I'm telling you about. This isn't just any normal birth. Notice what he says in verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." I love that phrase, right? Whenever an angel shows up in the Bible, most times it's like people's response to seeing an angel is fear. If God would open your eyes to see the spiritual realm, you would be shaking in your boots. I think that's sometimes why he doesn't. Right? He doesn't want us to just depend upon angels and those kinds of things. He wants us to pray to him, to seek him. His angels do his bidding, his work, but the focus is not really on the angel or the angels. It's on Christ. And the angel encourages this man, the shepherds. He says, hey, fear not. Why? Why shouldn't you fear? For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I love these statements here. There's good news. The gospel is good news. It's of great joy. It's for all people. He says, what is that news? There's a Savior that's born this day, who is Christ the Lord. This is really the purpose of the birth of Jesus, right? We saw this a little bit last week when the angel spoke to Joseph saying, hey, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, it's important that we understand the purpose of his birth, the reason for his birth. He was born to die. He entered our world not just to leave us a good example or to leave us some good teachings. He came into our world to be the sacrifice for our sins. That's why the angel declares here to the shepherds, today there's born to you a Savior. There's someone who's going to save you from your sins, from the judgment, from this whole problem we see unfold throughout the Bible. If you read the Bible, you'll notice it's filled with people and their shortcomings, their sins, their failures, embarrassing details. The whole thing is really, it's working up to this point where it's like, we need help. We need someone to save us because we can't save ourselves. And the good news that the angel brings, he said, there is born to you, there's a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. He's entered our world. This is the good news of great joy. If you're lacking joy, you need to find your joy in Jesus. There's nothing that this world can give you that can ultimately satisfy you. Right? You could be happy for moments and you can have a pretty good life, but fullness of joy is found in Jesus. It's found in receiving the good news. As you're made right with God, there's joy in his salvation, and what he's done for you. It goes beyond your circumstances. It goes beyond your health. It goes beyond how much wealth you have. If I lose it, if I gain it, it's found in Jesus. It's in his birth. It's in his death, his life, his resurrection. This is good news for all people, shepherds included. It's for shepherds, it's for religious people, it's for proud people, but we must humble ourselves to receive the good news and understand that we need a Savior. The angel encourages the shepherds here. He says, hey, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. See, this good news was declared to them, not just so that they might have some more information, be like, oh, that's nice, there's a Savior born over there in Bethlehem. No, they were told this information so that they might act upon it. And that leads us to the next section of verses 13 through 20, the various ways people respond to the birth of Christ. Okay, there's the announcement of his birth, the purpose of his birth, but then there's the various responses to his birth as well. Notice how the angels respond to the birth of Christ in verse 13 through 14. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Notice the angel's response to this birth. They were without sin. And they're the first ones to praise God. There's a whole host of them, right? There wasn't just this angel. Now there's a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. They're giving glory to God. They're saying, hey, there's this collision here, right? God, in his glory, is dwelling with man. He's dwelling with humanity. He's bringing peace on earth among those with whom he's pleased. The Bible says that peace, the ultimate peace that we need, that humanity needs, it's not just peace among nations or no more war. It's really peace with God. That's the root issue. There's a lack of peace in other areas because people don't have peace with God. Now, peace with God comes through receiving the gift of God's salvation. Romans 5 tells us this. It says, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, peace comes as a result of calling upon the Lord. Lord, save me. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Make me a new creation. I repent. I believe in you and what you did for me. When you believe that, when you put your trust in Christ, the result of that is that you have peace with God, and therefore you can have peace with other people. Because when this relationship is right, I'm able to see all these other relationships in light of that. God has brought peace. Where there was previously animosity and enmity, now I have peace with God. And these angels respond in praise to God. They look at the birth of Christ and they respond in praise. Notice how the shepherds respond. The shepherds respond by taking action. Look at verse 15. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The angels respond in praise. The shepherds respond by taking action. Notice in verse 15, they respond in obedience. Right? This announcement wasn't just like, hey, there's a Savior born to you. Keep doing your job watching your sheep. It's like, no, you need to go and see him. Go over there. His birth, this is a big deal. They said, hey, let's go over there to Bethlehem. Let's go see this thing that's happened, that the Lord has made known to us. See, the Lord makes things known to us for a reason, because he wants us to take action on those things. These shepherds, they didn't just sit there. They responded in obedience. They took action. And notice in verse 16, they responded with a sense of urgency. It says that they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. How many times do we know what to do, but we lag behind in doing it? See, delayed obedience is actually disobedience. right? When God puts something on our heart, when the Holy Spirit's leading us, when God's making something known to us, right? Just like God was doing that here with the shepherds, we need to take that to heart. To say, I'm not going to just sit here and wait till an opportune time. I'm going to go. When God reveals it, I want to move. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They had a sense of urgency. Notice in verse 17 through 18, they responded to this birth by telling others about the good news. Okay? Verse 17 and 18, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they see the birth of Christ, they see the baby lying in a manger, and they're not just hanging out there. They're like, no, this, we need to tell people about this. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. If this is true, if this truly is a savior of the world, then people need to know. These people went out. See, we have the greatest gift, right? We're thinking about Christmas. We think about gifts. Think about this. You have been given the greatest gift. Are you giving it out? Because this is the gift that it's really like we show our appreciation for the gift by giving it out to other people. We show that we understand the true nature of the gift by how we're able to give it out to other people. Do we really believe this? Or are we just content to sit on and keep this a secret? Right? I think there's too many of us who are comfortable being undercover Christians or being Christians who are comfortable with the message and not sharing it. See, the message is meant to be shared. It's meant to be proclaimed. These shepherds saw the child. They saw the Savior. And they went out. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Notice the people's response in verse 18. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. It's interesting. It doesn't say that they had faith, but they wondered at it or they were amazed. And there's people who are amazed or with Jesus, but they don't have faith in Jesus. And I know Paul Tripp's talked about this. There's a difference between amazement and faith. As Jesus went on through his ministry, there are people who would be amazed, but they didn't have faith in him. Our job is to be faithful with the message. That's between them and the Lord and God's work in people's hearts. He's the only one that could give true faith to people. But we're called, like the shepherds, to bring the good news to the people around us. Notice how Mary responds. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary was reflective. She meditated on all that God was doing. She treasured up all these things. She was pondering them in her heart. I love what she's doing here. She's like, man, she's just soaking it in. She's thinking deeply on the work of God, on what God has been doing. There's a lot that's happened to this point. Mary is soaking it up. She's soaking it in. She's pondering. I think many of us, we need to think deeply upon who Christ is, his birth, his life, his resurrection. I think the more that we think upon who he is and what he's done, the more that will lead us to worship. Notice, go back to the shepherds in verse 20. The shepherds, they respond in worship. They worship God for all that the Lord had done in their lives. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So the shepherds return. They go back to their jobs, it seems like. But what are they doing? They're glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And I think this is really the end goal, right? Of the birth of Christ, of the life of Christ, of the death, the resurrection of Christ. It's really worship, that we would worship God, that we give him the glory that's due his name, that we'd praise him for all that he's done in our lives, right? For all that they had heard and seen. Many of you have heard the word. You've seen God move in your life. This has been communicated to you through the Bible, through sermons, through different resources. Those things aren't just meant to sit there in our brains. They're meant to translate into worship. This isn't just an intellectual exercise. This is really meant to lead us to a place where we worship God for who He is. And so let's do that together this week. Let's set our hearts, set our minds on things above, on who Christ is, and that we take time to worship Him in spirit and truth.